This conference will now be recorded.
Hi, everyone, and welcome. It's Pamela Groh from Simple Development Systems, and we're so happy to have you here. We're honored to have with us today Harvey McKinnon. Harvey's an inspirational speaker and a trainer who's helped raise hundreds of millions of dollars for nonprofits, from Amnesty International to the Canadian Cancer Society to UNICEF. He's the author of four critically acclaimed fundraising books, and his consulting company, Harvey McKinnon Associates, works for a wide variety of causes in Canada and the United States. He's also produced several award-winning documentary films, including Side by Side, Women Against AIDS, a biography of William Shatner, and The Black Sea in Crisis. Harvey is the author of Hidden Gold, the quintessential guide to building a monthly giving program. Welcome, Harvey.
Hi, Pam. Thank you.
Well, thanks for being here. I think I've explained to you that most of our listeners tend to be from the 83% or so of United States nonprofits that have annual budgets of under $1 million. A lot of my subscribers, their budgets don't even, you know, they're less than $500,000 a year. Oftentimes, their development offices are one-man, one-woman shops. So the focus of our call today is going to be why the smaller nonprofit organizations should start monthly giving. And given their limited resources, how can they best introduce it to the mix? Can we start with your seven great reasons I love as part of your book to start a monthly giving program now?
Absolutely. Well, the best reason, I think, is probably that you'll dramatically increase your annual income. We've analyzed, since Hidden Gold came out, we've analyzed probably hundreds of files and looked at how much donors were giving before they became a monthly donor and how much they were giving afterwards. And generally speaking, on an annual basis, each person that converts to monthly giving gives 2 to 3 times more money, some of them even more. So even in an annual program, you will see a bump from the people who will give more money because it's just easier to give $20 a month than two checks of $120 a year. You also build a better relationship with your donors because as opposed to having every interaction just asking them for money, you're just sometimes reporting back on how their gifts have made a real difference to the program and the mission of the organization. One of the most important things is that donors will stay with your organization longer. When people collect monthly gifts, either by credit card or what's called electronic funds transfer, where the money is automatically transferred from a bank account into the charity's bank account, they tend to go on forever and ever. And it depends on the channel that recruits them, whether it's a person-to-person solicitation or monthly giving. But generally speaking, once somebody signs up on the program, they will stay on your donor base and give you money every year for at least 3 times on average longer than the person who is giving you single gifts currently. And that's pretty magical because that, coupled with the fact that people upgrade their income each year, means that you are going to get much more income, usually 8 to 10 times more income. We just did analysis for one of our clients, the Marmot Recovery Foundation, small charity, and the Vancouver Island Marmot is the most endangered animal in North America, or was till we raised a lot of money to build a breeding center. They're still threatened, but they've made a huge difference. But we were analyzing their file and discovered that people who became monthly donors gave 6 times more on average in a given year. And you can imagine that since their attrition rate, meaning the people who drop off from monthly giving, is only about 8 to 10% a year compared to anybody who's listening to the donor file, this is probably up in the 20 to 30 times more valuable range over time. Another great reason is that it's predictable. So for many small organizations especially, you know that your money comes in when you contact your donors. Occasionally, there'll be a big grant, whatever. But if you can depend on X thousands of dollars coming in every month, whether it's a summer month or a month where everybody's on vacation, that's incredibly helpful to cash flow. And it helps you predict what's going to come in the following year. We can usually predict within 1% or 2% for every one of our clients, and these include some really large clients, how much they will get from monthly giving, because there's so little attrition on these files, especially if they're direct mail recruited monthly donors, easy easy to predict. And even if you're recruiting from television or face-to-face, you can usually predict with a fair degree of accuracy what the attrition rates are. You'll also lower your fundraising costs. Once, if you mail six times a year to your donors a solicitation, and they become a monthly donor, you don't have to contact them nearly as often. If they're giving electronically, they will still give, and that's pretty important. So once you build up a large file, that means you can actually save a fair bit of money. Again, your income can also grow over time because in addition to the fact that people stay longer and give more each year, it's easier to upgrade donors. So if you have somebody giving you $15 a month and you, after, say, 10, 11, 12 months after they've been on the program, you send them an appeal or make a phone call saying, could you increase your gift by just $3 a month? That's just 10 cents a day. Would that be possible? Well, a lot of people do that. For many of our clients, the average is somewhere around $5 for upgrading. And even if only 10% of the people do it each year, that's a phenomenal number of extra dollars over the course of a donor's lifetime. In addition to that, the upgrades often make up for all the money lost by anybody dropping off the program. And lastly, the seventh reason is convenient. It's easy for charities to manage these programs, and it's also easy for the donor. And donors like the fact that it's easy for them. No organization will get 100% of the donors signing up on monthly. But if you take, if you have 1,000 donors and 10% of them join up on monthly, or 100 people, and you know that they're going to give you 3 to 6 times more money per year, that's the equivalent of getting lots of new donors.
You know, that's something that, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt, but I think that's something that most of the nonprofit organizations that I talk to, how is it easy for charities to run? Because most of them, I think, don't seem to understand that part of it.
Right. Well, it's the most common form of fundraising in the rest of the world. The U.S. tends
to
be behind in this. The banking laws in the States were behind the times compared to other nations, but that did change in 1979 when electronic funds transfer was allowed. And I guarantee you, there's probably 50, 100 million people in the United States that are on these programs, but not necessarily for charities. What they're doing is they're paying their membership to a health club. They're paying a tax bill. There's all sorts of interactions that are people doing on a monthly basis on their credit cards that are, in fact, exactly the same thing. So what we're saying to nonprofits is people, for the most part, are already on monthly schedules. They frequently get paid on a monthly basis. They almost certainly pay many bills. They get deposits from Social Security on a monthly basis, et cetera. So it's something that people are actually familiar with. And when you can tell stories in your newsletters about somebody like the other donors who have done this and it's easy and they like giving this way, that's a way to inspire other people to think, well, I could do that too. The simplest way for smaller groups is to use credit cards. So electronic funds transfer, most of the companies, and there's a bunch of companies that do the processing for quite cheaply, they're probably not interested in having an organization as a client that can only process 50 checks a month because from a business perspective, they're going to lose a ton of money on that. But for credit cards, that's a very easy thing to do. And once you do that, you just pay the percentage to the credit card company, and donors are quite familiar with doing that on credit card. All things being equal, if an organization is listing that has enough of a donor base where they believe they can get a lot of people on EFT, I would recommend that as the best of the two electronic options, primarily because people who give electronically will actually have more value over time. Sometimes, for some organizations, the credit card donors might even give, on average, 8 to 10% more per month. But because cards expire, people lose their cards, change their cards to get frequent flyer points for an airline, et cetera, there's more activity around that. People tend to keep their bank accounts much longer and their credit cards active. So EFT will, in the long run, likely make you more money. If somebody's listing that already as a program, I would work hard to get credit card people onto electronic funds transfer.
Awesome. Well,
Sorry, I did.
My next question. I sort of got off my schedule here, but do you think that monthly giving should be introduced to just a select group of the most loyal donors in the database, or to the entire list?
Monthly giving should be introduced to the entire list. We have clients, virtually all of our clients, where we're doing prospecting to acquire new donors through the mail, and we always invite them subtly to become monthly donors. And it could be a line in the letter saying, and by the way, one of the best ways to support this cause is to become a monthly donor. Call our club is called Friends for Life, and there's information on your reply form. So it's not a hard sell. Most people won't take it up. But we usually get at least half of 1% of new donors signing up. Now, if you're mailing a million pieces and you get a 2% response rate, that's actually a lot of people. If you're only mailing 1,000 pieces, it's not many people, but it adds up over time. And this is, you know, if an organization is converting 1 to 2% of the file a year, by the end of a decade, they'll be up around 10 to 20% of their donors on a monthly giving program. It's not the only organizations that get a lot of people build a file really quickly are those organizations that are either doing direct response television, which is unbelievably expensive and you have to have a big brand name, or doing face-to-face. So if you're in any European city or most Canadian mm-hmm. cities and some American cities, you'll have people on street corners and high traffic areas asking you to sign up as a monthly donor to Greenpeace or Amnesty International or UNICEF. It works really well with big brand names, much more difficult mm-hmm. with other organizations. That's the way to get volume. But for most of the organizations, I suspect, who will be listening to this, they have smaller budgets and smaller donor bases. And I think it's, you just mentioned it in an integrated marketing perspective. So you talk about it in your newsletters. When you're having special events, you mention it. You have a brochure that you can give to people in thank you letters, et cetera.
Oh, exactly. I love your idea of including the stories of the monthly donors in your newsletter, in your emails.
Right. Yeah, I think it works really well because people do understand, hey, that person is like me. They found it easy. I could do the same thing.
Exactly. And this is one of the biggest questions that I received, and it has to do with acknowledgement, and I'm sure you've heard it a million times too. How often should monthly supporters be acknowledged? Do they need a thank you letter every month? Should you recognize your monthly donors in your annual report or newsletters? Well, we just covered that.
Well, you definitely don't want to thank them every month because people will just become irritated by that. I was analyzing a really large file the other day. They have 500,000 donors and a lot of monthly donors. And they don't communicate with their monthly donors all that often. They'll get a couple of newsletters. They'll get an upgrade letter, one calendar, and that's about it. And the thank you letter is the tax receipt upgrade letter. Now, their attrition rate is only 8% a year. 8% for any filing, they, like most charities, have a lot of older donors. Really, that is the people dying, going into seniors' home, moving out of the country, et cetera. It's virtually 100% of the people that can continue giving are continuing to give with getting only one thank you a year. And you can very well easily thank them subtly in a newsletter saying we want to recognize our monthly donors and thank them. Some organizations put their names in, others won't. My general feeling on if you're going to acknowledge someone in a newsletter, you should just ask permission because they may not want their spouse to know or other people to know that they're giving to a particular cause.
Exactly.
Just a sign of respect. So.
Oh, yeah. You always got to make sure you get the spelling right, too.
Yes.
Well, I know we're running out of time. Can I ask you what would be your absolute best advice for the small nonprofit getting
sure.
ready to start a monthly giving program?
Look at organizations like Greenpeace, Amnesty International, World Vision, Oxfam, big brand names. They're doing it not only in the United States, but they're doing it globally, and they're really successful. I was doing some workshops for UNICEF in Europe for all the different UNICEFs globally. And then 18 months came back and did another 2-day workshop with them in Paris, luckily, in the first call.
That would be nice.
So that's a great thing to do. And in that 18-month period, because they're working in so many different countries, they locked in about an extra $175 million in long-term value from the monthly donors they recruited. So what they were doing, they call these things skill shares. They were sharing ideas, looking at the bright spots. Dan Heath and Chip Heath's new book, Switch, they've got a great segment in there on bright spots. And you look at what's working, you do more of that. And that's what they were doing in these workshops. I'd say the big brand names that have World Vision has probably globally a couple of million monthly donors. Certainly Amnesty is 500,000, Greenpeace is well over a million monthly donors. They're doing a lot of things right. So people can go to these websites. They can join these monthly donor programs, find out how they're doing. And it's a great way to learn likely proven tested techniques. People who are doing monthly giving programs have a million monthly donors. They're testing things all the time, finding out what's working. And you can adapt what they're doing to your particular cause and make a lot of money and recruit monthly donors. And again, if you've only got 1,000 donors, you're not going to have 800 of them on a monthly giving program. But for every 1,000 donors, you should be able to easily have 500 to 100 people without too much work. And in some ways, smaller organizations have a huge advantage. I have gone around and asked friends to become monthly donors as opposed to making a single gift to sponsor me for something. And what that means is I only have to ask them once, and the gift just keeps on giving. And do you have time for a short story?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. How I really caught on to this is, I hate to say this, way back in 1979, I was sitting in my office one night working, writing a fundraising letter for Oxfam, and got a call from some friends, and they happened to be across the street in a Greek restaurant, saw the light was on in my office building, called me. They invited me over because they didn't have enough money to pay for the tip and coffee. So I paid for their coffee and tip, but I brought three forms along with me for the Oxfam's monthly donor program. And I had filled out their names and addresses, and all they had to do is check off a box that said either $15, $25, or $40. And this is in $1979, dollars, so that would be at least the equivalent of $30, $50, and $80 today, probably more. Every one of them signed up, maybe because they had a lot of retina, I'm not sure. But 31 years later, two of them are still giving. The $15 person is now giving $40. The person who dropped off gave for about 8 years, and he went off to a sabbatical in Europe. And I don't know, I need to check with him to see if he's still giving or giving again. But really, in that time, they've given about $15,000. And all I had to do is take 3 minutes of my time to fill out their addresses and say, I'd like you to sign these. And they did. And the money will keep going on virtually forever. When you're giving every month for 31 years, you're just not going to stop that program. And I've been on a program for 30 years. Even if I get irritated with the organization every now and then, I'm not going to stop the program. Inertia, great, great thing. And the people who are giving, one of them owns two houses in Vancouver, which is one of the most expensive real estate markets in North America. He and his spouse, who also has a high income, have no children. So they're literally worth minimal, a few million dollars. They will have to make a decision someday where they're going to give this money. Since they have no children, there's a really good chance they'll look at the charities that they give to. And the charity that they've given to for 31 years and likely will continue to give for another, hopefully, 20, 30 years, is an organization that almost certainly will get a piece of their estate. So monthly givers, whether it's self-selecting your best donors, join your monthly giving program and are more likely to give a legacy, or because you have a better relationship and can work with them over time, they decide to become legacy donors. They really are monthly donors are your greatest bequest donors. And for most files we've analyzed on a per capita basis, they're as good as volunteers. And that's pretty good. So my feeling is that even if you weren't dramatically increasing your income for the donors that join a program, and you should, the people who are in that file can then be cultivated to make that all-important bequest.
That is a fabulous story. Thanks so much for sharing.
You're welcome. My friends are still talking.
I can't wait to share it. Pardon me?
My friends are still talking to me by some miracle.
Well, thanks again for joining me today. I can't wait to share this with my readers.
Okay, you're welcome. Thanks, Pam.
I just think this is a total, to be honest with you, I just think it's a total no-brainer that everyone should be doing it.
Everyone should be doing it.
I really appreciate it. Thanks so much, Harvey. Have a great one.
Yeah, thanks, Pam.
Bye-bye.
Are you still there?